To change it, mail upgrade it, call it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it.
Hello, children! It's the Redog!
Would I be like Sea Kitty or something like that?
I don't know. That was for all my Fallout 3 fans out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you are listening to That Computer Show. Your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. Okay, on today's first of many for the year 2010, we're going to give you a little taste of CES. What does CES stand for?
The Consumer Electronics Stuff. I mean, show.
Yeah, it's basically cool stuff you're going to buy.
Yeah, it's gadgets and
goodies,
cool stuff.
Yeah. Highlights include an Android-powered microwave, as useless as you might think, but kind of cool nonetheless. Also, Asus debuts its flexible OLED display, paving the way for electronics paper. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the first real Chevy Volt battery rolls off the assembly line, finally. And thanks to Chris, well, not thanks to Chris, but he told me about the article, Magic Jack brings the noise, a new device allowing cell phone users to talk airtime free from the home. And we're going to get to watch Chris pee in his pants on the air.
Huh?
A wireless HDTV and Blu-ray device, no power cord, no nothing. Tesla's dreams coming to reality. And it's not just in a Christmas tree. And also some neat hacks for life, how to use a 9-volt battery to make emergency AAAs. Actually, quad A's. But anyway, all that and more on today's episode. You know what today's episode is?
Into the 10th plus pi. I have no idea.
Episode 119.
Ah.
Yeah. Or 10,000 years. Anyway, okay. So, Chris, how's your year been so far?
It's been very year-like. There were a lot of days, and then there were weeks.
There's some hours in there too, right?
Yeah, some hours.
Very year-ian.
It has been fun. A little upset. My car is broken.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a good way to start the new year.
No, if it ain't fixed, don't broke it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's some pretty cool things going to happen in 2010.
I have excitement all over me.
And, you know, we're supposed to say it that way, 2010. There was a whole article and a forum and lots of tweeting going on about the correct pronunciation of this year. And 2010, apparently, is not correct according to certain grammar Nazis.
Well, actually, yeah, 2000 and, because you're not supposed to use the word and in the expression of a number unless it's the expression of a decimal. So it would be like $200 and 10 cents. You wouldn't say $210. That's grammatically incorrect.
$210.
That's wrong. Right. You have to say
$210.
And
zero cents. That's how you would write a check.
Yeah.
So, except for
you wouldn't be able to read it if you were like Eric writing it. Because then it wouldn't be $200 and 10 cents.
This gentleman said, he explained it pretty easily. We didn't walk around saying it was 1984.
In the year of our Lord, 1984, George Orwell owned your face.
That might work.
Maybe.
Said it that way.
If you were that posh English. Yes. But.
Tip your waitress, try the veal. We'll be here all week.
2010 is the correct way to pronounce it, unless it's a movie title.
And then it's
2010, A Space Odyssey, again, over.
One man.
One desire.
One calendar.
We'll miss you,
Smokey
John
Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Smokey Brown. Yeah, people are stepping forward to fill his dramatic shoes. So, speaking of drama, I had to watch Twilight last night.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at you.
They're sparkly vampires.
What bet did you lose?
It's a long story, but
you do have a story.
And now the rest of the story. Now, it was every bit as entertaining as I thought it would be.
As much as a Michael Bay movie might have to do with the plot of Transformers, if you just subtract the explosions and Fox, I imagine that Twilight is nothing but sparkly vampires
Audis. Have you seen it? It's actually a BMW.
I mean, Volvo or BMW.
Yeah,
or
is it a Volvo? I don't remember.
Volvos, yes, that's right.
He drives a BMW. She apparently, in the second movie, drives a Volvo, maybe? Yeah, she drives a Volvo SUV.
Since when
Why are we talking about this?
Because the point I'm trying to make is, We cannot get away from commercials.
You really? Oh, it's such a sellout.
This is such a 2 hour long full HD commercial is what it is.
Just and like apparently.
Second movie with John Stamos in it, the guy with the he drove the Audi.
Oh, the like a teleporter or the guy
the transporter too.
Yeah, oh my God,
we need more money from the car companies.
But yeah, it's apparently they made a big deal about the vehicle he drove in the books, and that of course translated into commercialism for the movies. Did you hear that there was going to be another book, but she canceled it because somebody put the manuscript on the internet? And so she was, like, really peeved. And so, yeah, so she has gone onto her website and been like, you know what, y'all, and she doesn't sound like that, but she's like, y'all, you know what, I was going to write this book, but see, y'all took it, and it's got spelling mistakes, I haven't run spell check or nothing, and so I'm going to put it up here on the internet.
She's at 5, come on.
Jesus. And I ain't gonna finish it, you're just going to read it.
Anyway.
And she doesn't look or sound anything like I, but.
My mom printed off every single page
did
of
she?
That book.
I know a lot of fans.
And got it.
Bound.
Yeah, she got it.
I know a lot of people who are refusing to read it because they, and I got to admit, that's pretty bad to, I mean, you know, I'm a writer and I put words together into sentences and sometimes they don't always make sense and I want to run spell check before I show that to the world. My art. It's my art. It's my soul. It's a piece of my soul, people.
Okay. And
moving on.
Twilight.
Don't even get me started. Android powered microwaves. They'll be in the next Twilight movie, incidentally. Yeah, this is kind of cool. It's a microwave, but the display is Android. That's kind of just the news, isn't it?
Yeah, I tried to look up more information about it, but apparently it's this gentleman, he doesn't have anything else better to do. He's an ex-iPhone
engineer. Yeah, he's an ex-Mac guy.
And the only thing he has to do to spend his time is to... basically hack devices to run Android, as many devices as he can get.
But as we discussed in a post Shadowrun world, you know, you want your stove and your microwave and your refrigerator, you want them all on the internet.
It's a Mark Hamblin, CEO of Touch Revolution, that's the name of his company. He was one of the driving minds behind Apple's iPhone software and the touchscreen interface. He now works to deliver Android to devices of all kinds. Microwaves.
He's got a washing machine, too, that runs Android.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but... I mean, it's cool, though. I think that's kind of cool.
It would be nice to have all my devices running the same OS and being able to move information between them. It would be nice... My phone runs Android, so it would be nice to know that I'm sitting in my office in my house, and... my phone tells me, "Hey, your dinner is now warm in the microwave."
Yeah,
you know, and like a little video preview of my food spinning, on
like a live webcam webcast of your food.
That would be neat.
Picture in picture on your awesome wireless TV.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, we're there.
Just need to patent this stuff in a shadow company like Apple does with the iSlate. Have you read any of the rumors?
You know, I really haven't. I've avoided the rumors.
There are so many rumors about the iSlate. Apple doesn't even have to come out with a product. They just have to, like, pretend they're going to come out with a product, and the rumor mill begins.
Well, you know, there's a lot of accusations that they intentionally seed the rumor mill with kernels of little apples, like apple seeds. It's like Johnny Appleseed. Yeah,
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Ah, yes.
Bugger!
So what I'm referring to is the Apple iSlate. My girlfriend is, and she gets so excited about these Apple products. She is such an Apple fangirl. She really, really wants an iSlate. She already has an iPhone and a MacBook. I have to break the news to her. This thing's going to be about $1,000, if not more.
Carumba.
If the rumors are correct. If it's... The rumors are saying that if it has an organic LED display, an OLED display,
well, that's good. Okay,
it's going to be about $1,500.
Holy snaggies!
Apple has said that they want to position their new device between the price of an iPod Touch and their least expensive notebook, their least expensive MacBook rather. Their MacBook's about $1,000. I think you can get a really scaled down MacBook at about like 900, but so this thing's going to be between 700 and $900 approximately for this device.
Wow.
So it's not going to compete with netbooks. It's not going to it's going to be much higher end than a netbook.
Yeah. But see, so, it's going to have some serious processing horsepower at that price point to be
able to compete. It's funny you say that, because Apple bought a processor company a while back ago.
Really?
Yes, and it was speculated that their next device may have an Atom processor in it, because, yeah, you know, they got in bed with Intel.
Now it's going to be the Eve?
Mm-mm. It's going to be the... it's like...
it's a joke grenade.
It took a few seconds for it to... and got over here.
Processing.
They bought a company, and so it's probably going to be using the processor from that company.
Interesting. Well,
yes.
So I'm wondering how that's going to stack up just from a raw horsepower. Okay, you know what really excites me, though?
It's an ARM-based device. They're speculating somewhere in a gigahertz range of processing horsepower.
Something else that I saw at CES that really excites me. The Asus OLED flexible screens.
Cool.
Now, I've always thought this is kind of a cool thing, and we're starting to see more of these devices. You have the Kindle, and the Kindle, you know, like the 20 different models of Kindle you can get.
Have you seen the Q?
Who makes the Q?
You had to ask that question.
The Continuum makes the Q.
Continuum, yes.
Barnes & Noble has one that's... What? Did you get that?
It's taking you a while to get these.
It is. I just drank the mana potion right before we went on air, so it's going to take a few seconds. So.
But anyway, you've got the Kindle. Barnes & Noble has one. There's another company that, what's it called? The Sprint Skiff, the e-magazine reader.
Yeah, that thing looks neat.
And I played with whatever the Barnes & Noble device is. I can't remember, but I played with it, and it looked really cool. It looked like I was looking at a piece of paper of newsprint. It was really interesting. But I'm really waiting on e-paper, electronic paper, that is not only paper-like, but, because, you know, let's face it, computer screens are never going to replace paper for things like post-it notes, jotting down a phone number, things like that. The best bet the technology industry has is to meld the two, and this is a good example. Come, Leviticus, look at this. Just tell me how cool this is. I mean, it's kind of a dumb name, but isn't that cool? It bends. Oh, see, that's what it looks like. And then it bends to make a... Well, that's not it. But it you can actually bend it to make a laptop, like with, like, touch key.
Interesting stuff, indeed.
If you could see this, people, you would be like, wow. Say wow that's real quick.
Wow. That's amazing.
Sit down. Thank you. sorry. I just marginalized Leviticus. And he just flipped me the bird. So anyway, I'm really excited about electronic paper.
It was an e-bird, actually.
It was an e-bird, yeah.
To get that message. Yeah. Text it deep.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, other items of news. The first actual Chevy Volt battery rolls off the assembly line. Yay.
Isn't that car already supposed to be on the road?
Yeah.
Weren't we promised that car in 2009?
I think they promised... In 2009, I think they promised it for 2010, which
they said at some point soon.
Yeah. So, basically, the first official assembly line-produced battery... unveiled, a bunch of suits. Basically, these guys looked worried. The huge battery assembly, I don't know, man. You think they're going to pull it off? You think they're going to get the Volt out? And it's
a Chevrolet, that's all I got to say. And I shake my head back and forth
when
I say that.
Yeah, he did shake his head, I saw it.
I haven't seen Chevrolet come up with an innovative, practical automobile since freaking ever,
ladies and gentlemen.
They always mess it up. Now, granted, the EV1 was a really innovative product,
but they messed it up
and they killed it off.
Wow. Okay, peoples, listen up. Commercials inbound, your position. After that, we're going to be back with more cool news and stuff to talk about, like what? Like Google taking over the earth, or how about Duke Nukem Forever, canceled or not? This is the part where I dramatically raise my eyebrow. See, I'm doing it. You're watching.
What we need is a ding.
Yeah, the Blizzard Authenticator to become mandatory. Cybernetic versions in the works. And for all of you geeks, the golden ratio discovered in the quantum world. Impress your geeky friends after the break. Stay tuned. That computer show will be right back.
I'd like to buy the world a home. Bernie Gowdy, and I lost more than 80 pounds using Watermark Hypnosis, right here in Columbia. I tried a lot of diets over the years and lost some weight, but I just gained it all back. Then I needed knee surgery, but my doctor said I had to lose weight first. I had a size 46 waist when I went to Watermark. Now I'm down to a size 34. The hypnotist at Watermark taught me what and when to eat. For the first time, I completely understood my binge eating, and they helped me change my habits. I have no question that I can reach my goal weight and stay there. Losing weight through Watermark Hypnosis has also made me healthier. I sleep better, and I take less asthma medicine now. I had my knee surgery and even used hypnosis to alleviate pain afterward. Watermark Hypnosis works.
It really does. Call Watermark today at 750-2000 for your free consultation. Lose weight and feel better today. Call 750-2000 on the web at watermarkcolumbia.com.
Meow, 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 meow.
Mix from Purina, the cat food with three separate flavors in one package. Three flavors that cats love best: tuna, liver, and chicken. Meow Mix tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
Meow. This is Internet Radio. It is diverse and far more entertaining than conventional over-the-air radio. It gives you something you can't get from other forms of audio media. It gives you music you might not hear anywhere else. It gives you interesting points of view and experimental methods of production and content. It's a new type of radio. But there are those that want it gone. There are people who want to take this all away from you. They say that by hearing their product over the internet, that they're getting cheated out of millions of dollars. Let's see, you hear their music and decide to buy it. How does that cheat them? You like their product and choose to spend money on it, and that cheats them how? In a free world, people are supposed to have a choice about where they get their entertainment, and your independent internet broadcaster is being threatened by big money conglomerates who demand you do it their way. If you want a free internet radio community, you need to take some positive action now. Not tomorrow, now. Send an email to copyinfo@loc.gov. That is, copyinfo, copyinfo, at loc.gov. Tell the Librarian of Congress that the World Wide Web is for all people, broadcasters and listeners alike, who are entitled to enjoy this new technology without the threat of the extortion that the big money music interests are proposing. Small internet broadcasters simply cannot afford to pay an inflated per song per listener fee, and you want the free expression of music as art to remain just that, free for all.
The Supreme Court overturns a car. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. In a landmark reversal of a long-standing automobile, the Supreme Court overturned a 1978 Ford Pinto yesterday, effectively ending the car's upright position. Justice David Souter wrote the majority opinion in the case. The car was overturned in what legal experts described as a strong show of support for the Washington Redskins' victory over the Arizona Cardinals. This is Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News. Pick up the Onion at your newsstand or visit theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, call it, point it, zoom it.
And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You are listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net as we broadcast from the Blue Room at That Computer Store. Okay, so Leviticus, we were having an interesting discussion actually during the break that has not a whole lot to do with technology, but has a lot to do with the universe and the Earth and saving it and all of that BS. I got a coffee maker for the holidays, and you asked me if I was using what kind of filter I was using, right?
Yes. What kind of filter?
I'm using a bamboo filter, and because I think, you know, a lot of people use bleached paper filters, which have a negative impact on the environment. They use paper. They're bleached, which means you're using harsh chemicals and blah, blah, blah. And you're using what? A plastic filter?
Yeah, it's plastic and metal.
Well, my filter, my coffee maker, is a gold-plated metal filter as well.
I'm not sure what kind of plated it is.
It's probably what they call a gold-tone metal basket.
Yeah.
And with the metal filter, you don't have to replace it. You don't ever have to change the filter.
As long as you don't, you've got to be careful washing it, or else you can galvanize the metal, which will affect the brewing of the coffee. I've read.
Yeah, you just rinse it off in cold water, shake it off, and stick it back in the coffee maker.
Yeah. Now, the coffee maker that I had that, but it was huge. It was like a 4,000 cup, and I don't drink coffee. So, you know. So, anyway, I got this coffee maker. It didn't come with a filter, so I went and I bought bamboo filters. And as we know, bamboo is a grass. It is a renewable resource that grows faster than... Actually, it probably grows faster than kudzu, honestly. It's one of the few things in the world that... there are actually laws against planting it here in the state because somebody got the bright idea to plant bamboo to stop the spread of kudzu in some areas, and then the bamboo took over. Really, guys? Bright idea. Who didn't see that coming? Have you not seen Japan? So anyway, and it makes me wonder... What's the economic impact of using the bamboo filters versus the cost of producing the plastic filters? I'd really like to know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, how many times can you use a bamboo filter?
Well, you only use them once. That's the thing. They are throwawayable, disposable filters.
Well, I did some research while you guys were talking.
Ooh, good. What do you got? Now, it should be noted that I bought the bamboo filters, and I'm sorry, I'll let you get friend.
I just got Kanye'd. Well, I just got Kanye'd right there.
I bought the bamboo filters because there were no...
You bought them because they said bamboo, and you thought, ooh, bamboo.
No, well, yes, because they were better than the bleached ones.
Welcome to Steven's world.
I don't drink coffee, so I've used two filters.
See, I drink some coffee.
Me too.
Didn't have plastic metal. They didn't have anything other than those.
Just an excuse?
Okay.
Anyway, so what did you find, Chris?
There's a chemical in coffee, an oil called cafestol. It's the most dietary cholesterol elevating agent known, apparently, according to this particular guy here. And a paper filter filters this out, apparently. A gold filter or a metal filter does not. I'm of the opinion that that you don't drink enough coffee to elevate your cholesterol that much. I do notice that there is oil on the top of my coffee when I drink it, when it's brewed perfect. There's always a shimmering of oil on the top. In my opinion, that's what gives it its deep flavor.
I just put olive oil in mine.
I really only see that oil if I use a metal filter or if I press my coffee with a French press.
With a French press, yeah.
Yes, and the outfit I have to wear when I do that, oh, God, it's just...
They were kidding you. You don't have to put that skirt on.
What?
It's a joke. They were making it. Oh, it's like.
Are you serious?
At least it's on YouTube. Yeah.
Oh man.
So moving on.
This whole time.
So, but anyway, so I wonder about and the coffee thing brought it to mind.
The dry cleaner always looks at me funny.
God. It's funny because it's true. Anyway, so I wonder about the overall the global impact of my bamboo filters versus the. Highly processed and manufactured. And there truly is no way to quantify the impact of one versus the other on a global scale. I mean, from a microcosmic scale, obviously the plastic's going to be better. But we don't factor in how much does it cost to make those, how many plastic trees have to die.
Well, look at it this way. My family, typically my mom makes coffee in the morning, and she makes decaf at night.
Okay.
So
that's two brewings.
That's two a day.
Yeah.
Interesting side note there. I'm going to Kanye you just a little bit. I'll let you finish, but
please do because we're just talking at this point.
Like, they have discovered a naturally occurring coffee bean that does not have caffeine in it. It's a new species of coffee bean that is naturally decaffeinated.
Is it GMO? Is it genetically modified?
No, it's
which I don't have a problem with genetically.
It occurs naturally in nature. This particular coffee bean does not have caffeine in it.
Wow,
which begs the question. The big question, why drink decaffeinated coffee? Why would you brew coffee that doesn't have caffeine?
That's like why would you eat a tofu hot dog?
Coffee is like...
I don't know why you would eat a tofu hot dog. I can't answer that question either.
I mean, I wouldn't. Actually, I would. I would not to experience a tofu hot dog, but like... Okay, like they have that ground beef that's not beef, but it's like bean protein.
But it...
But anyway, I could cook, man. I could make taco meat with that, and it was really good. It had some applications, but I guess it's the discussion of emulation of food. For I don't know where are we.
Some more interesting stuff from CES.
Yeah,
this is off Crunch Gear. It's an interesting little device that it's a quadcopter. Basically, it's like a helicopter but four blades. that's controlled by your iPhone, and it's got a little camera on it, and you can see where it goes. It's your own little UFO spy drone.
Well, it's like a UAV.
Yes, and one person actually commented, hey, if you encrypt the video signal, you can sell this to the U.S. U.S. Nice. Military for at a 1,000,000% markup.
For those of you who didn't hear our other show, the Predator, the Predators that are in service overseas, the video signal that, like, it's the video signal, lets you see through these things, it lets them do surveillance, it's not encrypted. So anybody with this little piece of $30 software can hack them, and basically the bad guys can watch what you're about to do to them, so... Yeah, a UAV is online. Wow. So, okay. You've heard about this rash of World of Warcraft accounts being hacked, right? And I got two pieces of news about this.
Yeah, apparently they're offering, as opposed to getting your stuff back in your account, care package of sorts.
What's happening is a ton of people are being hacked, and I get the emails. It's like from World of Warcraft account security, you haven't logged into your account, your password's been changed, you need to log in. So you go to this website, and they own your account, sell all your stuff, and then your character's just cold and naked in a corner of Azeroth. So apparently Blizzard employees have been asked to push care packages. Instead of taking the time and the effort to restore items lost, they give you this care package. 2,500 gold, 2 emblems of frost, 10 emblems of triumph for every day you've waited. Now, apparently, it's easier to do that than it is to go back and I guess, research and find out what your character had before you got owned. Now, in fairness, some people may actually win out. You know, if you've got an account with not a lot of junk on it, or good stuff on it, excuse me. And I'm not going to fault them too much because it's a lot of work. And people are getting hacked left and right with these latest scams. But there is, in a related story, there are talks of making the WoW Blizzard Authenticator mandatory to log on to your account.
Well, I know that there's an iPhone Authenticator app that it's currently free.
It's free.
I haven't found one for my Android phone. Would be nice. There's also the Authenticator app for other phones that run that can run JavaScript. Java-based applications. So they found a way to integrate their algorithm into a Java app.
Yeah.
So if it's in your built into your phone, that's cool. I know of a couple people who have the unit.
Yeah, we got a couple gamers who use them. And I mean, Blizzard GMs are backlogged. They so many accounts are being hacked, they can't get to them all in time. So, I mean, the care package thing makes a little bit of sense. Basically, if you accept the care package, they close your case, they consider it resolved, complaint over, here's your gold. Now go kill a bunch of kobolds, whatever. But there's a lot of speculation that that they're going to make these things mandatory. What are you typing? I hear you typing. Oh, he's pressing keys.
I'm like hacking the universe here.
You checking your WoW account? Make sure your gold's still there? Oh, man. Okay. You've heard of the golden ratio, right? Chris, you know what
this is? Yeah, the more gold I have and the less gold you have,
the better off you are. Yeah. The golden ratio...
You mean like the 3/5 kind of...
Yeah, it's 1.618, blah, blah, blah.
Something like
that. Okay, I'm going to read this. This is actually, this is exciting to me for some reason. Maybe I need more hobbies. Scientists, for the first time, have observed a nanoscale symmetry hidden in solid-state matter. That's the news. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me explain what that means. Basically, they found... Okay, by artificially introducing more quantum uncertainty, researchers observed that the chain acts like a nanoscale guitar string. So the first thing they did, they played Paint It Black. The first two notes show a perfect relationship to each other. Their frequencies are in the ratio of 1.618, which is the golden ratio famous from art and architecture. And the observed resonance states in cobalt, niobate, or dramatic laboratory stories, blah, 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 blah. This is really cool. Thank you.
I'm waiting for this to have its own video game. As in Guitar Hero, there's going to be,
like,
you know...
Quantum Hero.
Every note is 1.16.
Yeah. But that's kind of cool, man. I mean, this number occurs naturally in nature, naturally, all over the place.
Sort of like the Fibonacci sequence, you know.
Ever. Yeah. Large Hadron Collider video game.
Yeah.
It's called Half-Life 2, Kyle. Sorry. Actually, that one's Half-Life 1, but...
But...
Gordon Freeman! Yeah.
Oh.
I want to play some Half-Life. Okay, here's the most insulting thing of my week. Vitamin water. And I love me some vitamin water. I kind of cried when Coke bought them. They now have a Facebook-flavored vitamin water.
What does Facebook taste like?
You don't want to know. Kyle's throwing up, man. I mean,
oh dear.
Yeah.
I have.
It tastes like Farmtown.
It tastes like Farmtown and Mafia Wars. It tastes like dirt and bullets. Farmtown and Mafia Wars, people. Coca-Cola has announced the debut of a Facebook-flavored vitamin water called Connect. Facebook apparently tastes like black cherry lime, which, by the way, does not sound delicious to us. Reading this from the consumers.
You don't put black cherry in lime. No. Stop putting lime in things. Yeah. Stop putting lime in your beer. Stop putting lime in Coke. Stop putting lime in this. Stop putting lime in your face.
I like putting lime on my tacos.
Lime has two places it should be.
Tequila and tacos.
Coconut.
A pie. And a margarita.
No, tequila and tacos, my friend.
Coconut.
Okay.
Sorry.
You don't put coconut in tacos.
You put lime in a coconut. No, you do not put a lime in a coconut.
No.
You put it in a pie.
You put the lime in the coke, you nut. No, no.
And a tequila. That's in a margarita, yeah.
In tacos. You put lime on tacos. You just do. In related news, I bought agave nectar. Oh, my goodness, this stuff is awesome.
Okay.
It's better than honey, and it doesn't crystallize. It's so good. Anyway, so Facebook-flavored water called Connect. There was a contest on Facebook. It was like, design your own vitamin water. Blah, blah, blah.
And somebody decided to put lime in
apparently it. A lot of people said, I am quitting Facebook. The bottle carries the Facebook branding, and the drink has caffeine and 8 key nutrients.
Caffeine?
So, the Facebook's cool and all, but every time I load up, it's like, meet hot Christian singles in your area, and, like, download Gamefly, like, the ads are kind of, they're kind of getting annoying, because the algorithm that they use to determine what ads to stuff in your face, apparently I have a lot of friends who are single and desperate, because all I get are ads for that kind of stuff. Maybe I'm single and desperate. Uh-oh. Epiphany, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. Actually, some of the ads are a little offensive. I apparently have some friends with some interesting lifestyles, so I get some kind of weird ads.
I don't think we're going to have to carry this at that computer store.
I'm going to try it. I want to try. Well, see, here's what concerns me. What if it's good? What if it tastes good? But the problem is, every time I take a sip, I'm going to think of all of my friends on Facebook that I don't really like, as opposed to the ones that I do like, and then I'm going to think about them while I'm drinking this, and it's going to be like,
Apparently, this is not the first time they've done this. You know, one of your favorite flavors.
Sync was the MySpace thing, yeah.
It's MySpace music, and you could download free music with a code underneath the bottle cap.
And it's Sync is stinking awesome, I will admit.
I disagree.
Yeah, but that's because you're dumb.
Well,
no, I take that back. Oh, look at that, he put me to break. I insult him, he makes me go to break. So, for all of you having to listen to the commercials, blame Leviticus, not me. Okay, that is all for this segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break with more news of Facebook-flavored water. Ew. Really? Stay tuned. Sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
We're gonna do it right there.
$5 foot long.
That's not, no, it's five. $5 foot. Right, no, and it's $5 foot long. It's three.
It's a 5 second commercial.
Is he directing this now?
I was doing it right, wasn't I?
Everyone's loving the Subway famous $5 footlongs, and there's so many to try, like the Oh My Meatball Marinara or the Temp Delicious Spicy Italian. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
$5 footlong!
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice-a-roni, the delicious break from potatoes. Now in 6 fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice, Pepperoni, the San Francisco treat.
Welcome to a televised performance of the National Symphony. We'll be hearing Beethoven's Ninth, and the conductor, Shimizu Matsuoka, will be replaced by a relative newcomer, Curtis Jackson, also known as the rapper 50 Cent.
He says he's always loved the work of Beethoven and often thinks of him as a true OG. Kept so busy by his recording career, it hasn't felt up to trying this. But since he began drinking vitamin water formula 50, he feels he's up to the task.
One more change, this one for the first viola chair, DJ Who Kid. Sounds like he's integrated his hit into club. Extraordinary. And now he's calling out the trombonist for a solo, which is great.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Bad kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Soft kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dog. Up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
When men fight dogs, they soon say nay.
But when kids fight dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Armor hot dog.
The dog kids love to
I'm Dr. Frederick Mall, co-owner of Watermark Hypnosis. It's 2009 and we're celebrating our third anniversary in our location right here in Columbia's Vista. I started Watermark because hypnosis works. I lost 45 pounds and got rid of chronic back pain myself using hypnosis, and we're excited that our satisfied clients tell their friends and family about their successes.
Watermark hypnotists are nationally board certified and hypnosis instructors. They have the credentials and experience you can count on to succeed.
We're not an out-of-town act. We don't do a one-time show in a hotel room and then leave town the next day. We live here, and we're committed to seeing you succeed. You can rely on our professionalism and expertise.
Call Watermark today at 803-750-2000 for a free consultation. Watermark Hypnosis is the local name you can trust to help you lose weight, stop smoking, reduce stress, improve your golf or tennis game, and develop more positive, healthy habits. Call Watermark at 750-2000 or visit us on the web at watermarkcolumbia.com.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. If you ask me, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-O-G-N-A.
It's the Onion Radio News. 180 trillion leisure hours were lost to work in 2004. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Boston University School of Lifestyle Management released disturbing findings today that indicate that more than 180 trillion valuable leisure hours were lost to work in 2004. Sociology professor Adam Bernhardt headed the nationwide study of 12,000 Americans.
The majority of American adults find work cutting into the middle of their days, exactly when leisure is most effective. Unfortunately, most Americans can't enjoy leisure during this time for the simple reason that they're at work.
Bernhardt reluctantly added that the report was responsible for the loss of nearly 12,000 leisure hours. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, load it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick.
You're listening to That Computer Show. I just bumped my knee, so I'm going to let Chris talk for a minute so I can cry like a baby. That really hurt.
As a subscriber to Netflix, I'm also going to weep just a little bit, but on the inside.
Okay.
Netflix has reached an agreement with movie studio Warner Brothers to hold off release of new Warner Brothers DVDs and Blu-ray movies until after they've been on sale for 28 days. I'm reading this from TechCrunch. So, no more will we have the new release rentals. Basically, where the movie comes out on a Tuesday, and like Tuesday evening, Mm-hmm. You can pop the DVD in, or Wednesday when you get it in your mail, you pop it in and watch it instead of having to go down to the Best Buy and buy the DVD.
Right.
Yep, no more of that. So, we've heard of this kind of stuff happening before when Fox got sued by Redbox. Are you familiar with Redbox? You've probably seen them in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Fox was sued by Redbox because they stopped delivering or even providing Redbox with their movies until 30 days after, because they weren't respecting their 30-day blackout. But here's the weird thing with the Fox thing. The 30-day blackout was only for things like Redbox. You could still go to Blockbuster. You could still go to your other high-end stores.
They're protecting their distribution mediums so that those distribution mediums don't shrivel up and die. Okay, here's what's interesting. And I was doing some math in my head, which I'm not really good at because there are numbers and there's not enough space in there for numbers because it's all video game codes and comic books. But now, we've noticed the release of movies on DVD, the wait from it leaves the theater, pops up on DVD. We've seen in the past 3 or 4 years that timeline shrink dramatically.
Well,
right?
Yeah, for two reasons that I know of. There's a technological reason.
Right. Well, and the time to produce the DVD takes a whole lot less now because it's a digital medium to begin with, so it's
exactly
they don't have to recompress it.
And a lot of the DVD extras and DVD specials are produced in parallel with the film.
Right.
And then there's also the marketing and economic. They want you to remember.
They want you to be excited about it.
They want you to be fresh in your mind.
Right.
Will you be excited when you buy it? Exactly.
But they still hold it off long enough so that it is well out of theaters. Then you pre-order the DVD, and then you get it. So we've noticed that time shrink. So the ease of acquiring that...
It used to be like a year.
Yeah, exactly. You say, it'll be out in a year, and now it's 2 or 3 months. New Moon is still in the theaters, the new Twilight movie. Don't ask me how I know this. Anyway, and it's going to be on DVD in March. Like, so basically three... It'll still be in the dollar theater when it hits DVD. So effectively what we're seeing is... You're still getting access to the content much faster than you did a few years ago, but we're so used to the instant gratification of being able to turn around and download it that this 28 days seems like an eternity, and people are really up in arms.
I think that this speaks to I'm referencing this article here. Mm-hmm. They talk about that this year was the first year that, or last year rather, 2009 was the first year that movie sales, movie ticket sales, actually outpaced DVD sales.
Yeah.
In recent years, and they say that that's twofold: the increase in price of movie tickets. We went to go see Avatar. You were talking about during the break, and it cost me more to go see the movie than dinner.
Yeah, it's $13. $13 to watch it in 3D at the theater up the street
Per person.
Yeah, per person. Yeah, right.
And it used to be you could. I remember, and I'm dating myself here. You can go to the movies for $4.50.
You really should date other people. It's healthier.
$4.50, and that used to be expensive back in the day,
right?
To see a film, and now it's $15 apparently, approximately.
Yeah. Now that was in 3D. I think tickets are like $8, $9, $10, which is still a lot. I mean,
it's still a lot. And popcorn is also $10
and I feel bad.
You have to put a mortgage on your house to buy a Coke. I think it was like 1,500 lira for a Coke.
Now, here's the thing. I buy popcorn even if I'm not going to eat it, frankly, because the movie theater, and I talked to the manager of the theater up the street, and they make 25 cents per movie ticket sold. Of that $13, they make 25 cents. I think they might actually, on a 3D movie, they make $1.25. It all goes to the studios. So I buy that popcorn happily because I know that the alternative is that I don't get to go to the movies because that's how they make their money. That's how they pay their $20,000 a month rent. It's insulting and frustrating because you're thinking, my God, I got to take out a mortgage to get this popcorn. But, I think the system is skewed. But I don't know. I like what Amazon is doing. You buy the movie, even if it's, you can pre-order it, and you can download it. Now, I don't have a Netflix subscription, and I want to get one, but now I'm less inclined to get one.
Yeah, because apparently Netflix streaming service won't receive any newer movies from Time Warner.
Now, Netflix agreed to this?
Yeah.
So I wonder what they're getting.
Well, it's not like they can't agree to it. If they disagree, then they'll probably be the next Redbox. not have access to any of Time Warner's movies at all.
True, but so. Netflix has enough push in the market. I mean, they put Best Buy out of business, or Blockbuster out of business, effectively. So they've got to have some kind of pull. I wonder what they're getting at. Does it say what they're getting out of this?
It doesn't. The details of this deal are not public. Yeah. So
it's got to be. I mean, it's got to be juicy enough.
But this backs up what I was talking about during the break. Everyone knows that DVD is a dying business. The new business is digital delivery. It's downloads. It's Netflix on my HDTV without a computer. It's just plugged right in. This is the future, and I see the movie producers, the movie houses, doing the same thing the recording industry has done. Is they're fighting it as opposed to getting on board.
How do you think that's going to affect Blu-ray?
I don't know. And Blu-ray to me is silly because there's not enough content. The players are still too expensive.
Yeah.
And really, I can get near Blu-ray quality. By watching it on Netflix on my computer.
Download it. Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the instant gratification and instant access beats the Blu-ray quality in my opinion. If I want to sit down and watch, if I want to watch Lord of the Rings, I sit down and say, hey, you know, it'd be really cool to watch that particular movie. You pop it up on your computer.
Boom. What was that?
I bumped the microphone.
Oh, okay. He moved away from the mic to breathe. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I love my Amazon because I bought District 9 the week before it was released, and as soon as it was released, my TiVo had already been sent the instruction to download it so that when I got home, booyah, it was there. I could lay in bed, eat my popcorn, watch my District 9, and pee in my pants. Or in my bed because I was in bed. I may not be wearing pants, but anyway, we're not going to go there. Just saying, I agree. I think that digital distribution is potentially more exciting, but it is an interesting commentary on our desire for instant gratification. They're holding that carrot just a little bit farther away, and we're angry.
Mm.
And I'm annoyed too. I mean, because I don't really buy DVDs anymore, because then I just have a stack full of discs that are going to get messed up, when instead I can just download it.
Exactly.
Of course, then you have to ask, if you buy these movies digitally, what happens when the company that holds your license to digitally access that content, because you're not buying the movie, you're buying the license to watch that movie, what happens when they go boots up and out of business?
That would be a different episode of That Computer Show.
Yeah, because I've run into that with, I embraced ebooks, and I bought a whole bunch of ebooks a long time ago, and then the people who distributed them, they were like, we're sorry, we're not going to do it anymore. You have a week, or you have a month to download all of your ebooks, and now I can't even get the software to access my ebooks because they went out of business.
That's it's an argument for open source right there.
But I have my book. I got my physical books at the house that I can read in the bathroom if I want. Again, we're not going to go there.
So did you notice that Windows 7 was the fastest selling operating system in history, apparently?
Really?
Yeah, this is a...
That's interesting. No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I'm looking at some charts here, because, you know, charts are fun.
Charts and graphs, yeah.
Yeah, graphs are fun. That PC sales were up 63% over the same period in 2008. I'm referencing 2009, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
On Black Friday. And for the entire holiday period, 2009 saw 50% more PC sales than 2008.
Do you think it's because of Windows 7 or because of the economy? Or
I'm not really certain. Vista was we hyped up some Vista, but you know when it really came out, it was kind of disappointing. Yeah. Because, you know, yeah.
I mean, it ran well on a lot of machines. If
you had to have it
right.
Set up just right.
Which moon, we did, incidentally, I'm just going
to
say.
Yeah, the planets had to be aligned, or you had to have a great, great computer to run it. And our gaming machines have Vista on them, and they run great.
Yeah.
However, the one gaming machine we had that has 7 on it blows them away, so it's re-image time at that computer store.
Yep.
And this chart here does show that Windows 7 gaining ground on gaining a lot of ground on Windows Vista and Windows XP, but what's interesting is the chart is shown in a scale where you can't really see the growth in OS X, and they break down OS X into OS 10.5 and OS 10.6, and then Linux, which you don't really have to buy Linux, is not even represented very well. It's just an orange dot.
Yeah. So which it's I guess that's a tough metric because
and other. I wonder what other operating systems are being sold
Android,
right now.
Android,
I would have imagined this would be computer operating systems for like desktops, PCs, and notebook PCs.
So. What about net? So do netbooks don't count?
I haven't really seen any Android running netbooks yet.
Not on retail, but you know Dell put out that that bootable thingy.
Yeah.
For the Mini 10s, but I mean that.
I'd love to run Android on a netbook.
We ran it. Matthew did it. Matt maybe did, but and it. Hate to say it, it looked kind of stupid, but. It wasn't
a netbook. That was on his full notebook.
Was that on his 15-inch?
Yes, it was a full 15-inch.
It looked pretty trashy.
And he doesn't have a touch screen, so a lot of the functionality wasn't really there. So
you know what's gotten me excited? You showed me this link about Magic Jack.
And let's talk about that.
We blogged about Magic Jack a long time ago when it first came out. I did a review on it, and it's gotten a lot better, and I like it. I mean, I think I've got one. I know people that use them. So they're looking releasing a new version of the device that allows free calls from your cell phone. And that's got to be making some cell phone carriers angry because it's not on their network and you're not using their minutes, but you're still using your cell phone number. Over to you, Chris.
Well, apparently, the device uses the same radio frequency, the same licensed, here's the important bit, licensed radio frequency that your cell phone carrier has paid for, but it's only broadcast in your home. And their argument is the FCC laws against that end at your home. They don't they don't apply inside your house.
They're citing minimum point of entry, like the cell phone and physical phone companies have been doing for years.
Yes. So the device detects when a compatible cell phone comes within 8 feet of the device and places a call to it, and it gets set up. You enter a short code on the device, and then it's linked. And this device will then work within your home. And apparently the device will cover a 3,000-square-foot home, so a house much nicer than my own, will work fine. However, here's the caveat. I have a nice new Sprint phone.
Right.
It only works currently on GSM phones, which would be, in the United States, that would be AT&T and T-Mobile. They're not, the phones from Verizon and Sprint won't work unless you have a quad-mode phone.
Yeah, one of the quad bands.
A quad-mode phone that would apparently then go into a roaming mode in your home.
Now, interesting, I'm wondering how long it'll take. Because here's my prediction. If they don't get their pants sued off, if they can get away with it, then they're going to probably release it for the other. Because you can go to Sprint. Sprint has one of these little micro cell phone towers. It costs you $5 a month. They sell you the device at a loss. And then you spend the $5 a month. You know, they make their money back in the additional service fee for areas that like in my house, at the farm. The cell phone signal's horrible.
Yeah. I think this is a good idea, and I think Magic Jack should really get in bed with these cell phone companies and work out a deal to where they're branded Magic Jack for Sprint, the Magic Jack for Verizon, the Magic Jack for AT&T. Because if you've seen the big and hard-to-set-up devices, they're called,
Fembots or
Something or another. Femetocells.
Oh, Femtocells.
Basically, you plug them into your broadband connection. These things are difficult to set up. I tried to set one up for a customer who lives out on the lake, and they just don't work.
Yeah, they don't work well. So if this
Magic Jack sounds like it works great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
One important thing it does is when you're at home, it takes you off their cell grid. So their cell grid has less overhead.
But then they can't charge you for minutes.
It's better for them, but
if you have an unlimited,
the new services aren't really minute based. They're all
I'm interested. I'm interested to see how this comes to fruition. But it looks like that is all for this episode of That Computer Show. We're going to be back next week with more of That Computer Show Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's -5 GMT. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @TCSJoe. Until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you've been listening to
That Computer Show.